At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? Rob Sesternino back here for a special check-in with our chief international survivor correspondent. She is a titan of podcasting. Please welcome back, of course, from Talking Tribal, Shannon Gus. Shannon, how are you? Happy week three.
So you're going to say happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to all those who celebrate. But, you know, so we're putting this out for the patrons on Wednesday, and then we'll drop it for everybody else on Thursday. So Valentine's Day will be over for a lot of people when they listen
but
to
for
this.
Me, you.
Yeah. So happy Valentine's Day to you, Shannon.
Yeah.
And I have to say, great day for it to be Valentine's Day because I love this season of Australian Survivor.
I'm so glad. And you're Australian Survivor's biggest champion. So I'm glad we got you back here to talk about.
I thought I was a challenger.
Contender.
A contender. Sorry about that.
I actually do keep saying champion instead of titan. It's really bad. I did it on Talking Tribal.
Yeah. Like, I do love Australian Survivor. Survivor, look, there's different flavors of it and the Australian flavor of Survivor. Last year, I think I came in, I was too hot on being down on the, I know people like that, but I'm not here today to poop on US Survivor, but I am here to celebrate Australian Survivor.
They're just such different shows.
They're different show. It's a different show. And I would say that the US Survivor, and it is like incredibly well made, but it is much more of like an exploration of the human condition and the journey of its 18 people. Whereas Australian Survivor, and I will say that I think that this is more what I prefer, is like the game that is being played currently by 20 people. We're not necessarily like on a journey with Kelly exploring the person that she is going to be at the end of these 50 days. We are very much sitting with the person that Kelly is now. Are we going to get the full backstory of why is Kelly like this? No. Do we need it? I don't think so.
I don't know that there's enough. That's an intro. That right. would be interesting, though. I would love to know.
Did Garrick grow as a person during this time? I don't think so.
But he was a good character.
But he was a good character.
We missed Garrick.
He gave us good TV. So
yeah.
The game is red hot. There's so much fighting going on. I'm really loving it. So it's just a different thing, a different animal than maybe in Australian Survivor 47, maybe they'll be a little bit more going in different directions. But as of right now, we're loving it.
I just think, well, There are some things in US Survivor. We're not doing this US versus Australian thing for every check-in forever. But I just, there's some format aspects of Australian Survivor that are so good. Like two massive tribes has always been at its best when it goes really well, like two concurrent merges. And that's what I think we saw and it was breaking down. The swap could have ruined it, but it only made it better. That it's like literally just like two merge tribes, two whole worlds of 12 people where full-on factions form, and then they swap, and that's madness. And like all of these mechanisms have been missing from the new era. It makes the new era feel a little bit more slight. And I don't want to say that the new era is more twisty than Australian Survivor, because that feels unfair, because Australian Survivor can have massive twists and it has non-eliminations. And only a couple of seasons ago in Brains versus Brawn especially, it was like some of the most egregious twists we've ever seen. But I do think under David Forster so far, who has done the last two seasons, it's felt really clean. This week, just a swap and then just good, clean strategy. And it's like, at its best then, Australian Survivor could be fairly clean with hopefully painless enough non-elims and two massive tribes, a swap, like cool characters, kind of that highlighted editing that's been a bit more even but still had its stars. Like there are ingredients here for what could be just like phenomenal Survivor.
And I think that the fact that the two things are so different and so like diametrically opposed at times, I think it makes it easier to like make less comparisons between the two, because it's like, okay, this is like very much Australian Survivor at its best. And it's very different than what we're going to experience in the US Survivor in a couple of weeks.
And yet we do it all the time. I feel like we just compare them all the time. I feel like everyone compares it all the time to make the points they want to make. When you're down on US Survivor, you'll say things like, not you, but the royal you, will say things about Australian Survivor that aren't even true. Like, it never has twists. And if you're the same way about, wanting to be down on Australian Survivor, you might do it for US Survivor. They're very different. Like they shouldn't be compared. I shouldn't compare my two cats. They're opposites from each other. And yet I do compare them all the time. So maybe it's a good lesson in just enjoying the different things that we have.
Okay, well, and that's what I'm aiming to do. And I'm very much enjoying this week. Thank you for making this time to talk with me about the latest week of Australian Survivor. I had been keeping up. I was, very much wanted to hear what Nick Iadanza said on the last podcast. Always a great guest. So I wanted to hear Nick. And I just am I love this whole group. There's very few duds here in the Australian Survivor season 9?
Yeah. Depends who you ask, but okay, let's go through it. Let's go through it by characters. Who's your top level characters of who you're enjoying and why?
Okay. So going back to, we talked a couple of weeks ago and my favorite, I think, was Mark at that time. And I love Mark. And I think that Mark is a really good chance to, I thought at that time, like, wow, Mark is going to run this game.
He did have a good first 2 weeks.
I have to say, it's feeling like it's going a little Simon-y for Mark at this point.
Oh, Simon-y? No, Alex is Simon.
Alex is Simon? I mean, I feel like he's never really on the bubble of, like, I feel like that Mark, a couple times now we're seeing that, okay, he's got this plan going, and then freaking Riri. I watched you on Talking Tribal this week.
Thank you.
I had never seen Talking Tribal before. I feel like that, was it available on regular YouTube prior to this? So bad job by me, but I just want to say that I'm so proud of you. Look at you.
Aww. Thank you.
Look at you.
Appreciate it. You like it?
Yes. I thought you do a great job. I mean, you're such a natural. And I mean, I knew all this, but I just hadn't seen the show myself. And so you do such a great job. And thank you. We're so lucky to have you.
Oh, well, well, now I want to be nice to you.
Do what you want.
No, don't do that. Yeah. Don't sway
but
my
anyway, my but I think that there was some discussion of whether Rihanna made the biggest blunder in Australian Survivor history.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little hyperbolic.
Do you have a better example of
not off the top of my head?
Cara's the one. If you remember, mm-hmm. we watched that season less than a year ago.
It just seems like such low stakes, because when we talk about the biggest blunders in U.S. Survivor history, we have things like Eric Reichenbach or even Wu or even Colby, you know, where it's like, OK, I make this blunder, I've lost. I don't make this blunder, I win. And I think it's hard to make the biggest blunder in the show's history on day 12, where it was like, what was it really going to change for Riri? I did when it happened, when they showed her votes. I was like, well, why are they showing her like having this existential crisis in the voting booth? And then when they revealed the votes, I audibly said, stupid idiot.
Well, that's probably what it is. I actually agree with you in terms of blunders. For me, like, Wu's the worst mistake in U.S. Survivor history because, again, yeah, it's that, like, 8-vote difference. It's the $900,000 door versus mm-hmm. not. And we have that in Australian Survivor. We had Shan, who made the same decision. She could have taken Brian Lake and won. It's not as bad as Wu because she only lost 4-5 instead of Wu, who got, like, decimated, but she still lost. And it was a really obvious decision.
Yeah.
So that's the worst decision probably in Australian Survivor, because I agree. Like, when it's so tangibly in front of you, that's it. This, would we say differently if Rihanna had gone home instead of Sarah? Because
I think so. Really, it would have been more like a Tyson type situation. And I think that the story wasn't even told from Rihanna's perspective. Like, I feel like that the next episode,
maybe there wasn't a lot there to tell.
Did they even like have like a check-in with her where she was like, oh my God, my friend went home because of me. I feel so stupid.
I know.
It was only from like Mark and Carolyn's perspective. Is it Carolyn or Caroline?
Caroline. I wanted like the Penna confessional, like when he accidentally sent Jeff Kent home.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, like he had that moment, but I think that
I cooked it.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think that had she sent herself home, that would have really put a fine point on how awful that was. Mm-hmm. And like, it was clear, but like, it would have really just been that terrible. And she did nothing to save herself. Like, it's like almost a flip of a coin that it could have been her. The fact that it was physically based is meaningless to me. So mm-hmm. it also seems weird that I don't even think that she's necessarily better in challenges than Sarah. So the fact that it could have been her, that's funny. Sending home an ally, it could have been as, you know, just like out there funny, as you said, like stupid idiot level. But even if she'd sent herself home, that might have been a bit closer to something like a Wu or a Shan, but I still think that those like last minute, you will literally win the game versus losing the game. Like, nothing can beat that in a pre-merge.
I just feel like, I think I have to care about Rihanna to like have her have the worst blunder. And with all due respect to Riri, I nothing her so far.
But that doesn't matter. Like, but still, if she sends herself out of the game, it's still Tyson level.
I guess so. And then she
has
the
difference between losing and being in, but it's not the difference between losing and winning. And she got lucky that it wasn't even the difference between mm-hmm. like losing and being in, because she sent home Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah as well, though. Like, you can't feel that bad for her because she as well took so long.
She was in the cuddle crew.
Yeah. She has, you know what? This is a little thing. I was watching her post game.
Yeah.
You know, before and after. She also mentioned a partner. Like, was that entire freaking group coupled up?
Shannon, let me tell you about a little thing called non-ethical monogamy, I think it's called.
Okay.
Whatever. I watch Couple to Thruple.
Non-ethical monogamy is very funny if you think about it. But ethical non-monogamy, I think is what
we've
you
seen
mean.
That on Survivor. Hey, you're loyal to me. I'm going to be like doing whatever I want, but I demand loyalty from you. Yeah. I think we do have a lot of ethical non-monogamy.
Maybe. I just think with these players, a lot of people have said, like, and even Zach said today, he's like, I was so harsh on the players, probably harsher than ever, but it was deserved. I think it's because it's like a debut season. It's a rookie season and we're seeing it.
We can be a little like, you know, this is a thing that we have to, like, we don't know them as people. We're talking about what happens on TV, but we have to also.
You did say stupid idiot.
I'm telling you in a moment, I'm being open here. Okay. I mean, I can pull my punches if that's what the audience wants.
No, yeah, we want coming hot.
But I'm telling I don't know. I told you, I nothing Rihanna. And I have no idea. Like, I'm sure she's a lovely person, but my reaction was, I'm telling you, my reaction when I saw what she did was that I said, stupid idiot.
And it was the chorus heard around Australia, Rob, and the world. So who can blame you?
Yeah.
It was bad. It was really, it was the whole, but the whole day, the whole thing, everyone in that episode like has a lot to answer for. We went through it in depth with Omar and Zach today.
Yeah. And I'm disappointed. I would have under normal circumstances.
I don't even think it's out yet. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have listened to that podcast had it been available for me.
As of like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah. Crazy. Okay. So it just, I do not like to show up unprepared for a thing.
No one feels you're unprepared. This is your podcast. Your name is on the acronym. So mm-hmm.
Yes.
No one thinks you're, you watch Talking Tribal. Like you're here. It's all good. Wrong, yeah. But
okay.
Yeah.
So Kirby versus Ferris.
Feelings. Yes. Tell me.
No, I mean, it's so good. I love it so much. You know, Ferris and Kirby is just so fun. And we've talked about this a lot in the evolution of strategy of, you know, there are not many like prolonged pre-merge wars that go on. And I think that's one of the reasons why Heroes versus Villains is, you know, such a great season that you really have. I was talking about the U.S. Heroes versus Villains.
But you could say Simon versus George. The fact that that went
Simon,
that long.
Simon versus George, is similar. And, you know, you didn't exactly have it on the Heroes tribe in U.S. Heroes versus Villains. But, like, Rob versus Russell goes on for weeks and weeks. And somehow this Ferris versus Kirby has just gone on for so long. And I would love to talk about the two of them a little bit.
Yeah, well, who are you rooting for? Which side are you on?
So,
I feel like having to pick a side, though, is cruel because I truly love them both.
Yeah, I love aspects of them both. I think that Kirby is the better player, and I think that Ferris is better TV.
Kirby's such good TV. Like, I'm surprised you... I mean, like, compared to Ferris, maybe she is slightly worse TV because Ferris is electric, and preseason even, I was like, this guy...
I think
guy
she's just fine TV so
really?
Far. Yeah.
I'm so upset. I'm so upset that you feel that way about her because... I like it is kind of like she does it in this. I don't want it's not Chaos Cast like, but it's almost that same duality where she's kind of pulled back.
Yeah.
But so it kind of feels more neutral, but actually she's fearless. Like actually she's in tribal council saying like whatever she wants. She's saying like she doesn't sit with us. Like she is like so to the punch. I'm like, please don't speak now. Like truly the fact that you think.
So Cass was not the Kagyan comparison that I was going to make. That I was going to talk about that I feel like that Ferris and Kirby are like Tony and Sarah if they weren't like in the same like fraternity of police officers, you know, like where it's like, I think that Tony and Sarah, that they had this one thing that really bonded them together. And, but I feel like that, you know, maybe if you just like took that out of the equation, like the cops are us away from them, like maybe they would have been arch enemies.
Well, they were. And I feel like there was like a little bit of that connection with Kirby and Ferris. They were aligned early on. They really wanted to work together. Like Ferris was devastated when Kirby turned on him. And I got such great insights in the Garrick exit interview today, which I really encourage everyone to listen to all the exits from this week. They were all great. But he said that like Kirby was in on the challenge throw with the Cuddlers and like this kind of this foundational kind of mess that had happened in that first vote. So there was a connection there that did derail. And I find that a really interesting comparison because a lot of people have compared Sarah to Kirby, possibly on influence and secondly on looks. I feel like the charisma for Kirby to me is a lot more clear for me personally, but I hadn't heard the like Tony Sarah.
Because Ferris, and I think that Tony like that. Is probably like, and maybe Tony, like the like final version of Tony in Winners at War is a much better player than Ferris is. But maybe like Tony 1.0 and Ferris 1.0, like there's some similarity there. No?
Oh, there's similarity. I love Ferris, but Tony 1.0 and Kagyan is still one of my favorite wins ever. There was skill there. I mean, Tony's a unicorn, but Ferris is the bombastic, idol finding alpha loud guy compared to like Kirby's more kind of, again, in affect neutral, but in gameplay baller.
Yeah.
It's not so different from
but I do think that Tony got lucky on a number of things in Kagiyan. So I don't want to say that it was like Tony a perfect way. Game by any stretch of the imagination. But
I always felt like Tony and Kagiyan, it wasn't perfect. Definitely not. But it was like the highs were so high to dig him out of the lows and the holes that he dug for himself.
Yeah, that
I feel like
changers.
They were higher highs than, well, but then he was basically in the, what was the sky nest? What was it?
Spy shack or spy nest.
Anyway, it should have been the sky spy.
Do you see Tony is coming back to social media? Have you seen this? Yep.
People think it's a traitor's run.
I think that he's very close with Sandra. I think. I wonder if Sandra is like referring him to the traitors.
I would watch.
Yeah.
Miss Tony.
Yeah. I think it could be a podcast.
What?
I'm wondering if Tony could be like positioning himself to do the Tony podcast.
I listen. I don't want to endorse another podcast on this one, but I think but Tony's the kind of person who would start a podcast and do like 3 episodes and just never podcast
run
ever again.
Hot and fast.
Hot. Yeah. And exactly.
And those are going to be the 3 best episodes of any podcast ever.
I'm so excited about it, but yeah, I mean, look.
Well, I'm going to do a recap. That's going to be my my new podcast is going to be a recap of Tony's podcast.
Shotgun. I really want to be part of that.
You could be my co-host.
I feel like Tony and Kaguya.
Talking Tony.
What?
The name of our new podcast is called Talking Tony.
Oh, I was going to do the Tony cap.
Talking Tony, I think is we got it. We got
well,
it.
We no, that's copyrighted to Network 10. But all right. Well, I'm excited about that. Ferris isn't Tony 1.0, because Ferris is probably between that and Game Changers Tony, not in a bad way, just like that's a hard comparison, but in a character comparison, yes, and in a rivalry comparison, possibly, but just more played out better over one season, and Kirby's way more interesting than Sarah Lucina. I'm sorry, it's true, but you don't see that. You don't think she's that in? You think you're?
I mean,
you're
just, look that you look at this with a much finer tooth comb than I do. Anymore. I will go back and I will, in my next week's viewing, be keeping a more keen eye out for it. I think you started to answer my question, but my big thing coming in was like, why is Garrick so mad at Kirby? What did Kirby do that has got Garrick like in a blender? He's so mad. And I'm like, I'm trying to remember the votes. I'm like, well, was there a vote where they betrayed Kirby and Garrick?
I'll answer your question. First, I wanted to say, like, in terms of Kirby being great TV, her name's coming out of the urn and she's like
that
smiling
was good.
And being like, that's not how you spell it. Like, she's just so cool. Like, I think I have a girl crush. Like, I just think she's awesome.
Whoa.
But sorry, it's true. I think she's amazing. I just find it really amazing when you see just women come out and run the game like that. Like, is it long term? Is it like a 47-day game? I don't know.
Well,
I just know
that I sleep soundly knowing that I gave her 2 chizzy points a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that wasn't deserved. I gave her 3 this week. I saw the potential. I feel like she's made good of it. It shouldn't work, but nothing Kirby does should work. And she somehow is okay. That's like why I want to bet on her now. I said last week, I'd probably, if I was choosing a winner pick in week 2, which would be unhinged, I would have probably chosen her. And I feel like, does it make sense to bet on her? Should she have the longevity? Absolutely not. But I kind of just feel like by sheer force of will and charisma and aura, she will. So I'm obsessed with it. But okay, so what did Garrick do? Why is Garrick mad? Because what did Kirby do? So back on the red tribe, the pink, whatever, the original rebels, there was a first vote against Peter and they were aligned. Garrick even told me in the exit he was more aligned with Kirby than Ferris. And then firstly, I found in the exit today, Kirby was part of the challenge throw, which Garrick was very upset about because he was like, I've injured myself trying in this really hard challenge and without the help and you didn't tell me. Then she threw her and Rihanna's decoy votes.
Yeah.
Remember we discussed week 1 and I was like, I hated that
you
move. They
like
were still fighting about it. Like, and I've been so highly vindicated on not liking that move. Mm-hmm. They've been fighting about it for 2 weeks. Like they've swapped and they're still fighting.
Yeah.
Then Ferris doesn't tell
me. And at the time we did not know if she, that I had presumed at the time, like she told them, right? She told them she was doing this, right?
She didn't. Yeah, she didn't tell. Yeah. So they were mad about that. And then Kobe didn't tell her about his idol, which might be the lack of trustworthiness that she's speaking to, but she never voted with them and she just blindsided them by throwing those votes. And then they brought her back and they voted together against Tobias. They're like, okay, all good. We're back. We love you. Like, they want to like her because everyone likes Kobe. And then she turned on Ferris. I don't know if you remember last week, there was a vote that didn't happen because Kelly ended up going to the other tribe, but she turned on Ferris. And then Garrick and Ferris were going to turn it on Rihanna, who it looks like was definitely going to go. Mm-hmm. And that's what started the war. So if I was Garrick, I would be pretty mad. I'd be pretty mad that he trusted her and she betrayed him like multiple times. And then he brought her back and then she like extra betrayed him again. So I get it. And I feel like for Kirby, as much as I do love her, a tribal council, when she's like putting it on them, I'm like, no, you're actively wrong. Like, you are objectively in the wrong here. So
I felt like the episode this week signaled a little too much. I felt like Garrick, there was like a, my radar was peaked when like the cold open was all about Garrick and how he had to go after Kirby. And then there was like another like extra confessional from Garrick. I felt like they went like a little too hard on the Garrick angle that made me feel like, okay, definitely Garrick. I thought that maybe at the very end, I thought that maybe the drama was that Ferris might've played his idol to save Garrick. I just thought like they went like if that was supposed to be the like if I wasn't supposed to be sure it was going to be Garrick, I think they went a little too much on Garrick.
Yeah. Also, at the point where it was like Kirby v. Garrick, I felt like Kirby had a lot of plot armor. Mm-hmm. So I think that they've kind of done that a lot this season. Like, it's something you could criticize. Like, my brother often says, he's like, I go into the challenge knowing who's going to lose based on like whose storyline is built up, especially kind of earlier on. But I do also think, while that is annoying, and I guess I'm thinking about it less in the moment, but I also think they're building up storylines really well, and they kind of like focus on each tribe as necessary. And we get like these really good concurrent storylines. So, I mean, you want to be surprised. You want it to be tense, but I also do think that they've done such a good job of building up these stories that it's working from a storytelling perspective, and maybe not as much like suspense, but mm-hmm. I do see what you mean. Poor Garrick. It really did feel, even Nick said last week, he was like, Garrick is going to go as Ferris's proxy, and just immediately cursed him on that. Yeah. So.
Nick did a good job of really talking up Garrick, how much he loved Garrick.
We loved Garrick. Mm-hmm. I feel sad. I feel mm-hmm. really upset. Yeah. He said he was a fan. Yeah. And he smelled Garrick the rat. It was going to be him.
He did. He knew it was coming. I mean, did he, because he smelled a rat so hard, like maybe if his like sense of smell was duller, that maybe, do you think that it would have ultimately let him stay in the game? Did he come out too fast for a 50-day game?
He didn't go for much that he'd done wrong. Like, I felt like he went for Ferris losing the war, and he could have helped to win that war. But they couldn't take out Ferris. He had implicit immunity. Garrick was the right-hand man, or what Scott said was the left-hand man. Mm-hmm. So poor, unfortunate for Garrick. What did you think about the other boots this week? What about Viola? Because Twitter is...
I loved Viola. I thought, morning. You know, I really loved like Mark's angels of like, I thought that Mark and Viola and Valeria, I thought was such a fun trio. And like, I was really disappointed when Valeria didn't get swapped with them. I kind of wanted to see that play out. I thought that was like very interesting of like that Mark was building this other thing outside of the middle-aged mafia. Yeah. And then it was very sad when Viola and Valeria got separated, because I felt like the Twitter deserved them and that duo. And ultimately... Yeah, I was disappointed to see it all come apart when, you know, you had like the, you know, Riri and Sarah were sitting right there.
Yeah, well, that's really on them. I mean, I thought it was a great rejection of Mark of his middle-aged status. He chose the Young Alliance mm-hmm. over the middle-aged mafia because he knew mm-hmm. not really middle-aged. What was Mark born in like 1989 or something? Like, that's not probably around then. That's mm-hmm. not middle-aged. So he chose
good year
the young people.
Yeah.
And I think that was, I would love to know from Mark, like why he went so fully with the V's, like he fully chose them so much. And I'm so interested to know exactly why, but so they, when they turn, like, how do you feel about Caroline in that? Because people were pretty mad at Caroline. She made this like big move.
Yeah. Caroline, you had it on Talking Tribal of like the deep fakes of the Godfather package. Yeah. And There was so many good voting confessionals this week. And I do feel like that is something we don't get a ton of that in the U.S. Survivor. Like the Australians are bringing it. And I guess maybe because so many people vote, you're bound to get some good ones. But yeah. Oh, going back to that tribal council that
no one votes in U.S. Survivor. There's no voting confessionals.
No votes.
Putting their shot in the dark.
JLP talked about how Mark looked like a pirate. And did you see that Aiden wanted to give him a puffy shirt, Shannon?
Yeah, no, I got it.
And then Mark was like, but I don't want to be the pirate.
I get it. I know, it's a Seinfeld quote. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good. You have a lot of Seinfeld quotes up your sleeve, your puffy sleeve. I got a lot of messages. Rob, remember when you didn't know that Spice Girls song? Like, what, six, seven years ago?
Yeah. I do not remember that.
You don't remember that?
I'm going to
tell you a little story about yourself.
Is this the wand off?
Yeah. There was a Spice Girl song. And you didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And you don't remember it. And obviously it didn't traumatize you enough, but you got a lot of messages. You seemed annoyed. This was before I was even podcasting. Yeah. How many messages do you think I got about Seinfeld?
But I don't remember when I ever claimed to be a Spice Girls fan.
I don't remember claiming to be a Seinfeld fan.
No?
I've seen Seinfeld 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyway, like 50 people probably.
Yes. Yeah, I forgot that you bend the knee to the much inferior Friends.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't want to do a whole Seinfeld versus Friends thing. Seinfeld is like the Beatles of sitcoms. I watched it one time. I raced my brother through all 9 seasons and I was very young and I'm old now. And I'm sure the bend the knee thing is another pun. I can give you.
It's a Game of Thrones.
Okay. Well, I don't do that either. The point is that I can give you top line Seinfeld quotes, but it's okay. I'll get you one day.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see in the spelling bee when they had to spell seltzer?
I got all of them. Okay. They were in my DMs. I know all of them. I had them from Scott before the podcast was even published. Yeah. I got tweets. I got
Scott St. Pierre.
Yeah. Scott said he's like, oh, I saw that he said salsa. That was a psycho pun. And I was like, go for it. I was like,
wow.
Oh. Okay. And then within hours, I came to learn. Yeah, that's funny. I came to learn that it had actually been a secret Seinfeld podcast, which I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I like knowing what podcast I'm doing.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's fine.
It's fine.
We'll get over it. We'll get through it together.
Yeah.
But yeah, now so how many Seinfeld quotes have you snuck into this?
Not many.
You're going to get a reputation as secret Seinfeld guy. You shouldn't.
I did a Seinfeld recap podcast. I shouldn't be a secret Seinfeld guy.
You don't even remember your own Spice Girls related trauma.
Yeah. Well, in fairness,
really concerning.
There's only like 180 some odd Seinfeld episodes. And there's 5,000 Rob as a podcast episodes.
The Spice Girls thing was like a big deal. You and Josh
didn't know that it was a Spice Girls.
It was. You were annoyed. You were visibly annoyed. Like, I couldn't have spoken to you about that person.
Hundreds of things have annoyed me over the years, Shannon.
Nah, you were really
annoyed. Not even in my top 10.
Do you think it's kind to another podcaster to sneak in references to them through a whole podcast and then have like 50 people message them about their reference? Is that kind? Is that podcasting etiquette? Is that in our code of conduct? Did you take the initiation?
It's not in the code of conduct. I wrote the code of conduct. That's not in there.
It should be.
It's not a part of it.
Don't do that. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I've given you so much joy in my pain. Stop cracking yourself up. Don't find it funny. Stop it. End it.
Yeah. Garrick a little bit of the Kramer of Australian Survivor.
Who's Kramer?
Who's Kramer? Stop it.
No. Okay. See, that's the top line levels I can get. Gary, Lane, George, and Kramer. And Newman. Okay. I watched it a long time ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Both Australian Survivor and Seinfeld both have prominent Georges and Jerrys.
Did we do that last year? Did we talk about that? That must have been a thing.
And I guess, should we talk about we have an Eileen, not an Elaine.
Close enough.
I really like Eileen. I thought Eileen had a great episode 9.
What about it?
Well, first of all, I really related to Eileen in when we had where Ferris and Kirby, like, she sees what's going on. She's like, let's not do this.
No.
Let's not do the thing.
It was, yeah.
Let's not do this.
They were going to flip on each other. Like, it was so, it was just a fool's errand, I think, to try and get her to.
Yeah. And to just to relate to my own Survivor experience a little bit, like I've been in this position in the middle back in Survivor of the Amazon. And
I wasn't going to be All Stars.
No, there was no middle. It was everybody against me.
It's so good because
and there was no, the idol wasn't invented yet. And the shot in the dark wasn't invented yet.
We don't have that either in this version of the show. At the beginning of the show, this podcast, you were so nice to me. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll be nice to Rob. But now I'm back. It's great.
When was I mean to you?
The whole Seinfeld thing, Rob. It was my whole weekend. It was literally cruel. Okay.
So, but you, like, you're bouncing around through time. Like you said, you started this podcast. You were so nice to me, but 3 weeks ago, which was before the start of this podcast, you weren't nice to me.
Yeah. I was annoyed at you. And then you were nice to me. So I stopped being annoyed at you. And then you reminded me. So I'm annoyed again. And that's why I made a Survivor All-Star joke. And the joke was you weren't in the middle because you went home at the first tribal council.
Okay. Well, you definitely got me with that one, but I wanted to talk about that. I was in the middle when Dina and Alex, for people who the five people that know about this, were going after each other. I felt very much like, let's not do this. Let's not split this up. But when people are feeling that type of way, it's like it's very hard to sort of like try to broker peace, because then that the people that are like out for blood feel like, oh, you're not on my side.
Yeah. I mean, for Eileen, who could have been in the Garrick spot of being the proxy who gets voted out, I get trying, but it's just so.
Do you feel like that was her concern, that she thought like that she was going to be like, I'm going to be collateral damage if I don't stop this?
In another world, she could be. Like, in another world, they think Garrick is too obvious. Like, they do clock Garrick as the vote. They could have probably shifted it down to Eileen. In a world where they're turning on each other.
Yeah, but I didn't get that she was coming from a place of, like, self-preservation. I felt like that she was coming from a place of, like, long-term, this is the wrong move to go after each other. We have three people here from the... I actually really like those three titans that are there. Like, I really think that that's a fun group with Charles and Winna and Valeria. But
you know all the names. It's crazy.
I really do this season. I feel like there's been very few, and I guess credit to Australian Survivor, that I feel like that, I don't know who the most purple person, you got a little bit of Scott, right?
Could you name every player?
I think I could. Let me try. So from
all the people currently. No,
the people that are currently in the show. Don't ask me about the people.
Who got voted out last week, Rob? Who got voted out?
Who got voted out last week? Nate got voted out on episode 6.
Episode 5, there was no tribal council.
There was no tribal. Yeah, Kelly went to the other tribe. And then
episode 4.
So who went to the tribal council? It was one of the Cuddle Crew guys, right? The guy from the Cuddle Crew.
I don't know his name. The insult.
I don't need to know his name.
You don't know Sarah's lover.
It's an unusual name, right?
Tobias.
Yeah. Okay.
Sarah's lover.
Okay, but that's still pretty good. No, I could tell you that. So the three titans, Charles, Winna, and Valeria, and then. Were there six of the rebels that, okay, so there was, so Ferris had him, Garrick, and Eileen, and then there's Kirby.
And he has one more. One shouldn't be helping you.
There's another one.
He has seven. Garrick is left.
Oh, Raymond.
Okay.
And so, then there is Kirby and Kelly and Scott.
Yeah. Okay. You got that tribe.
Okay. And then the other tribe. There's Alex and Riri are left, Rihanna, with Mark, Eden, Jaden.
See, that's the
Kitty,
one.
Kitty, Caroline, Is there somebody else that I'm forgetting? Is that everybody?
Seven. Yeah, that's it. It was eight, not yeah. seven.
So I'm doing okay. pretty good.
I mean, yeah, you're watching and covering the show. You know all their names, but it's good that you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Yeah. It's
I mean, look, for at this point in last season, I don't know if I could have necessarily done that.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't.
There were people that made the finals I couldn't have named at this point last year.
Wow, Matt has really taken some shots today. I wasn't talking about Matt. You know Jerry. You mean Liz.
I wasn't talking
about Matt.
I am wearing my...
He's having a baby.
They know it all. Congratulations to Liz. I'm joking.
Liz is one of the many...
Come on, lighten up, everybody.
Having a baby. that's you're going to get roasted for that. Good luck.
Good. And then you'll be happy.
I am. I'm thrilled. Brains versus Brawn, and we asked you at the end to name all the cast. You couldn't do it. But you can name Tobias right now, so maybe...
Tobias is nothing. We'll end this podcast. I'll never think of him again. Sure, he's so a great guy.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I asked his girlfriend.
I was going to say. I think Tobias was actually unattached. I mean, maybe ask his girlfriends, but I don't think there was
He's into unethical monogamy, okay?
Unethical non-monogamy, maybe.
Whatever.
Which is just cheating. I don't know. I don't want to put that on Tobias.
We're joking. It's fine. He's a great guy.
We don't know.
Unless he's not.
Why were we naming the contestants?
You didn't think I could.
Eileen. You're saying Eileen because you identify with that. And you liked her minority split vote, which was, you know, created by Redacted.
Okay.
Who invented the minority split vote, Rob? You should know that.
You're talking about Nick Wilson?
Redacted.
Okay. All right. Well, then you wanted me to answer your question of
Redacted invented
the split vote. Who is Redacted? And then I was supposed to answer also Redacted.
Yeah, but I would have seen the knowing in your eyes. It could be so many different Redacted people.
You, for the record, you're the one who brought Redacted up.
He invented the minority split vote. He did a minority split vote. It's kind of Eileen's fault, if you think about it. For using the move.
Yeah. Okay.
It's an important move.
I thought that was a really great moment where Eileen is like, play the idol on Garrick. And Ferris is like, no.
I think I'd be happier with the idol.
And Garrick like had no reaction. You know, I would have thought that Garrick would be like, giddy up. No. Yeah,
you have an incredibly bad read on who Garrick is as a person. Garrick would be like, I smell a rat.
Yeah.
Literally his consistent tagline. I've never met a human being with such a tagline like that. Like, that's his merch.
He should have that as merch.
I smell a rat.
But 100%. I was surprised that he's like, yeah, let's do this. And
I think he was like, I'm going home, mate. Like, play the idol. I feel like he was also kind of pushing that.
He's like, no. We're not going to do it. Because Ferris already misplayed an idol. Like, you're Ferris. You find idols. Just play it.
Tony. Yeah. Well, I mean, look. Yeah. We discussed this on the podcast today because I feel like, you know, if Garrick goes, he's in a minority. He doesn't have an idol. That sucks. But the possibility of taking out Kirby. Ferris really needs to take out Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
for many reasons.
Who would have gone home in that spot? Would it have been?
Kirby would have gone. But they were worried that Kelly had an idol that she'd play on Kirby. And then Kelly would have gone on the minority split vote.
Yeah. Okay.
And that wouldn't have been that good. Just losing Kelly there.
No.
And then you don't have an idol and then you're in a minority. That would have been a worse spot than he's currently in now in the minority with the idol.
Kelly had a quiet week this week after she had such a big week last week. You and Nick disagreed on the podcast and I wanted to tell you that Nick felt like that ultimately this twist was a bust. He did not like how it played out. You said that you thought that there was even strategy in her sitting out of the challenge and that did work. Yeah, but it was still, you thought it was still good television for her to sit out of the challenge.
It was funny. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I agreed with you, not to say that the great Nick Iadanza would not be right about something. But no, I have adored watching Kelly. I thought she is so fun. And then the idea of sending her over was inspired. And then, yeah, I really was very curious about, okay, so she sits out of the challenge. Her job was to throw the challenge. Like, does she then have to stay a Titan? Like, because she did not, she basically, like, abstain from participating in the mission, but it was unclear until very late in the game until that ultimately she was going to leave. And then was she not allowed to tell them? Because I feel like that she should have been like, they wanted me to throw the challenge. I wouldn't do that. I like you too much. So
she
I
definitely should
out.
Have.
Yeah.
Maybe she wasn't did. Allowed. Well, it's hard for me because I feel like maybe the show did say you can't say mm-hmm. about, like, I could see that they're like, you can't talk about the sabotage twist.
Yeah.
But then I could also imagine that Kelly just didn't tell them, even though she was allowed to, beyond like
who
all
knows?
Reasons.
Yeah, there's no way to tell.
So I'm kind of going with the latter. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really entertaining. It's interesting that, you know, she doesn't have those relationships necessarily. Like, we didn't see any of that with like Valeria, Charles, Winner. She spent mm-hmm. some time with, like, they do go over to that side. Do you think it was like Kelly's secret Titan bonds?
I think that if Kelly was like a major player in all of this, I think they would have showed it.
Yeah.
I think so.
I agree. But there are some,
those
there
were
are some
not
Kelly
the
stands.
Titans that she hit it off with.
Yeah. There are Kelly stands that are saying that, you know, maybe it was her. Maybe it wasn't Kirby.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, those people are wrong. Those people are, they're not right, but there are people that are saying it.
Yes.
There's one person.
Yes.
There's one Kelly fan.
One
but,
Kelly.
Yeah.
So, you had mentioned before the podcast that, you said that Kelly has, a merch store.
Yeah. I just saw this. Someone tagged
can
me.
We,
in
can
it,
so. We, talk about this? Okay.
I sent it through the chat.
Okay. Here, let's see. Let me bring it up. Okay. All right. This is from the website, it's called Rebel Kel. But it's a shop. I guess, where do you get this link? On her, like,
on
social
her
media?
Instagram.
Okay.
Link in bio. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Rebel Kel. I like the branding so far. And okay. We have some shirts that say, are you single?
That's a Nathan, which people didn't take too kindly to. So maybe we shouldn't be certifying, merging
but
up.
Nathan seemed to like it.
Yeah, I mean, this is maybe not the context to talk, because I haven't even spoken about that, because it has been like kind of a hot button issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you know? I mean, like that? Don't you have to ask people if they are single, unless they practice ethical non-monogamy?
Well,
and
yeah,
in that case, like, are you in a couple and looking for a throuple?
I don't know. Oh, did you just do the show on that? Is that
yes,
like a throuple?
It's on Peacock.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, mm-hmm. beyond that,
I don't know if you have Peacock in Australia.
No. Right. And I don't want to find it.
And then
it.
Cute But Chaos. Okay.
I don't know where that
now,
is.
Now, what is this one? I'm just a mushroom. Is that one of her catchphrases? Maybe that hasn't happened yet.
Well, spoiler. should we come up with the context in which it does?
So I don't even know. I'm
let's do this. Let's role play why she says I'm just a mushroom next week.
Okay.
I'll be Kirby.
Okay. All right. And I'm Kelly. I get to be Kelly.
Yeah, you be Kelly. Yeah. And you have to end up by saying I'm just a mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly. Has she said that? All right. So remember to make people think you have an idol still.
Look, I can do it. I just like pop up where nobody's expecting me to, wherever it's wet and damp. I'm just a mushroom.
Spell it.
So I don't know. Not really like an organic thing to weave into a conversation.
Any of these things iconic?
The smiling assassin. Is that her?
I thought that was Ferris. Yeah. Like, I don't think she could take that from Ferris. Like,
these other people's quotes. Then also there's this one that says, don't be tempted by his big juicy apple, Snow White. What?
What? Wait, should we role play that? Wait, no, let's not do that. That seems like it's going into weird cuddler territory.
Is it like an Adam's apple? What is it? Like, I don't even know what is the body part metaphor for an apple?
It doesn't make sense that it's dirty and yet you just know that it is.
I mean, like, I'm like, my mind is racing.
I feel
like that, you know, it is Valentine's Day and, you know, people do
Nicole, lucky woman.
Use the emoji. Should I text Nicole the Apple emoji? I think she's going to think that she's getting an iPad.
I don't know what this is. Is she going to cram all of this into the next episode, or is this like a season?
And then what is this one? Whoop, whoop, whoop. Whoop.
No, that she always says whoop, whoop. Okay. That one she has said. That one's hers. I feel bad because I feel like the Are You Single one is what she'll be most remembered for on this. And that's not good. Like, people have been upset about that.
Okay.
Can I just say, like,
I don't think she meant to do anything upsetting.
No, I honestly think, and like, it's a broader conversation, but like, people have been upset about it. I don't think definitely not Nathan or Alex took it badly. And I think people always say the genders were reversed, but like the genders aren't reversed. Like, maybe that's a problem with society. I'm not necessarily condoning it, but like, she's an old woman and that comes across as less threatening and they were less threatened by it. And that has to factor into the conversation. Anyway, that's what we're doing after the Apple conversation. So
yeah,
just wanted to get that in. The, I don't know that any of those are going to be
not send me Apple emojis on Twitter.
Definitely okay.
I don't know what it means. Okay.
I don't feel like any of that merch is going down as like Survivor folklore. I feel like that is a random assortment of goods.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's from like a different thing? Is she famous for something else? Like a mushroom apple?
Would love to know. Very curious.
The apple one was beyond. I'm really glad that we took it.
Don't
deep
be
dive
tempted
into that.
By his big juicy apple.
Maybe. Okay. Okay. Role play. I'll be Kelly. You be Kirby.
Okay. Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Kelly, what's going on?
Kirby, I know you might want to align with Ferris and think you might trust him again, but don't be tempted by his big juicy apple.
I'm not. Believe me.
Yeah. There you go. So that's how that's going to be a wild pre-challenge scramble for Kelly next week.
Yeah. I mean, all the cuddlers are broken up, so I don't know how much tempting is going on.
Yeah, it's not been a very romantic season.
I did like really that Valeria when she got to all the rebels coming in. She just sort of said like offhand, she's like, "Oh, like Ferris, like I thought I was gonna have to like go like flirt with him and seduce him, but I don't have to do that. I don't have that.
Yeah,
like I had that in my back pocket. I was gonna do that, but."
Who has the time?
Not
who has the energy?
Not necessary.
That's great. I'm glad I didn't have to pull that one out. So
yeah, I like that she's like an assassin. She's like, I could run that play if I want, but I'm not going to.
I feel like was I condoning Kelly's behavior too much in a way that people won't take the nuance from, or like anyway.
I think you are fine, Shannon.
Anyway, I would have liked to see the Valeria Ferris seduction. I mean, that is a married man and he seems to really love his wife, but who knows anymore with this car? So
They're rebels.
Clearly they're relationship rebels. He even
That's the whole rebels tribe where it's like, you know, if your partner can't be mad at you, like I'm a rebel.
It's like those TikTok videos with like, I'm a something I do. And so it's like, I'm a rebel. I cheat on my girlfriend on live TV.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Ferris in the secret scene that I posted, and I talked about this on
you
the
want
recap,
loyalty? Marry a Titan.
Dog. Yeah. Frankie was kind of pushing Nathan away. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, Ferris made a coconut wife in the secret scene.
Oh,
so that's how much he misses his wife.
Can you tell me what is a coconut wife? It's not like an American pie type of thing, right?
Jesus, God.
No.
God, this is worse than anything, Kelly. This is a workplace. My God, who would even remotely even consider that is just like even close to what I'm taught? Like, obviously, no. Obviously
well, then
not.
Explain what a coconut wife.
It's what any regular person would think a coconut wife is. It was a coconut with a face painted on it with some leaves for hair.
Mm-hmm. Like a
and Raymond
like,
was hitting on
like
Ferris's
a disembodied head.
Yeah, she was kind of like put up in a tree. Yeah.
Okay.
God, Rob, you really are loosey goosey Australian Survivor Rob today. On Valentine's Day, on this hallowed day of love.
Yeah.
You should go bad, but that's fine.
Okay.
I'm going to make you feel bad about this literally forevermore. But.
You're doing a good job. Okay. Since when do we spell chili with two L's?
British spelling.
What the
Americans?
Hell is that? It's like
I'm going to tell you something as well. And this is for all the Americans that we have. Should I alienate my audience like this? I'm going to do it. You're not the center of the universe. Actually, a lot of the things that you do is dumb. You should adopt the metric system as mm-hmm. our version of spelling.
How do they spell it in Mexico?
Such a great question. I'm going to look it up. Well, does Mexico use American spelling? I think
that's the tiebreaker.
Mexico use American or British
mm-hmm.
spelling? The U.S.
How is Chile spelled in Spanish? In
Mexico. The U.S. Okay, well, that, yeah. So what about, but it's Mexican food that they were having. It is, they do use American spelling. God damn it. There's one time that America is right. I feel like it doesn't take away from my broader point.
Though. I mean, we are right next to Mexico.
Yeah, that's fair. But also Canada cannot separate themselves from you enough. So hard for me to say, yeah, does Spain would use British spelling. Mm-hmm. European.
Yeah.
I mean, they speak Spanish. Like they both, like, English isn't favored, but yeah. like in that way.
Although I have to say, so the spelling bee, I was a little underwhelmed on the words that really, they spelled in the spelling bee. The like I felt like, okay, here we go. Spelling bee. I saw people were liking the spelling bee. I mean, could we throw a guacamole in there? Like, I feel like.
Can you spell guac right now? Where does the U go?
G-U-A-C.
G-U-A-C?
Yes.
I think, is it not G-A-U-C?
Guac. It's definitely not G-A-U-C.
That's embarrassing. I'm really bad on G-U-A words, like guaranteed. Mm-hmm. I can't spell guaranteed. That's like my word that I can't.
A-M-O-L-E, guacamole.
British English is in Spain.
But
what? G-U.
Yeah.
Yeah, G-U-A. Is that, what did you say?
G-U-A.
What
did you say? G-U-A.
That's what I said.
No, you said G-A-U.
I don't think I did.
Yeah, the AU is the show we cover.
Roll the tape. I didn't say it. Cut this out. Don't tell them what I did.
I had a hard time. The third word that JLP said, it was tortilla. I did not make out what he said at all.
Why?
He says, it's, I don't know if it's the Australian accent or he said it so fast.
God, our spelling, our accent. What do we do to you?
JLP is looking extravascular these days.
True and fair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh, it's Valentine's Day podcast. They should have done like tequila. That would have been funny.
Yeah. That would have been tequila. That's another, it's not easy to spell.
How many L's are in tequila?
That's what I was going to ask. I would think it's one. T-E-Q-U-I-L-A.
Last time, basic math. Podcasting is a lesson in humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look. This is...
I think it's one L.
Tequila, it's one L.
But how do you spell it in Australia?
Yeah, it's one L. It's the one. So
okay.
I don't drink. I don't often have to spell tequila. I'm not someone who drinks tequila, really.
Okay.
But I am someone who eats tortilla and guacamole.
Yes. Let me see. What else happened this week? Did we talk enough about the Mark and Caroline of it all?
Yeah, what do you feel about Caroline? Did you give a take on Caroline? People are very harsh on Caroline.
Why are they hard on Caroline? I felt like that they could be hard on Kitty, harder on Kitty than Caroline.
They didn't like Caroline voting out Viola.
Yeah. But Viola was coming for Caroline, yeah, right?
I'm preaching to the choir.
I loved Viola and, the Killer V's. I wanted them to be a thing.
Killer V's. But has anyone been saying Killer V's? Did we say that laugh? That's excellent.
I don't think I made that up. I think that was in the show. I feel like that, at least in week one, I feel like that was mentioned. There was so much with V's.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's great. There was a lot there. There was a lot with V's. V for Vendetta was great.
Yeah.
She was very gracious, Viola. She got it mm-hmm. more than many of her fans have got it.
Yeah. So, that was definitely disappointing. And then I felt like, okay, well, here comes Mark. He's ready to go on like this Natalie Anderson run to avenge Viola. Yeah. But it's just not happening. But then, so it was like...
Natalie Anderson run wouldn't be today. That would be many weeks from now. But mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the inciting incident from that point on, it was like, okay, well, Mark's going to get revenge. But...
Yeah.
We had where then Caroline says about Mark, she's like, I have a plan for him, but we didn't really get what it was in the episode. Is Caroline going to let Mark get back in the fold? I don't think she's going to kill him.
She sounded, She sounded really ominous. The plan should be to vote him out. I have a plan for him, so vote him out immediately. Been incredibly untrustworthy. Done. So they should just do that as soon as physically possible.
This might be a little bit of a hot take, but I'm kind of happy Alex is back in the fold.
Oh, it's not a hot take.
Yeah. Okay.
We all love Alex. Yeah.
Like, look, he had his comeuppance. And like, I'm hoping to see, I would like him to last long enough for Kelly to be a part of voting him out.
That's what you want. That's how you want that to go.
Yeah. I think that would be like good, like poetic justice.
Can you do 8 weeks of Kelly?
Yes.
Are you able to?
Easily. Easily. I would do a deep dive with her. I love Kelly.
And you can.
Yes, I could have the Kelly deep dive.
And we don't have any time limits here in Australia. So,
Shannon, are you serious? I could have the Kelly deep dive?
I'm giving it to you.
What if she wins?
I'm willing to take that risk. I think that.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, now I think I'm very invested in keeping up with the whole season.
If you want to be on any deep dive, you can be on any deep dive. This is your podcast, Rob. Again, it's Rob Has a Podcast. Like, if you want to do any of these deep dives.
Oh, so I thought you were bequeathing the whole deep dive to me. It's me and you taking on Kelly.
Oh, no. You can talk to Kelly for as long as you like. I will not be there. For the other deep dives that I want to do, you're always welcome to.
How do you know you won't want to do one with her?
Gut instinct, just 3 weeks of time spent watching her. Like, I feel pretty good about it. I don't know that I can do 8 weeks. I'm enjoying it though. Sam says I hate fun. Untrue. I'm having a lot of fun. I just think there might be diminishing returns at a point. And I think that's a fair assessment.
Yes. Very, very fair. Shannon, what else?
Was that a fever dream? Did Kelly have a t-shirt that said, don't let him tempt you with his big juicy apple? Or did I? Thinking back now.
She didn't wear it on the show.
Yeah.
I haven't really, other than Eden's shirt, I really haven't talked too much about the other shirts on the show.
Yeah. What do you think of it?
No, I didn't.
Did you get Charles's reference?
What's Charles's shirt?
No, it's just some nerdy goose game.
No.
But it's hard not to get references,
is it like
huh?
goose duck? Is that it?
Goose duck. It's something nerdier and more niche than that.
Then it's over my head.
Good.
So yeah, I don't know about it.
Yeah. What else is there?
Mm-hmm.
There's Raymond's, I pause my game to be here shirt.
Oh, okay. That's Raymond's shirt. Cause I think that Kelly has been wearing that. I was like, that seems is Kelly a gamer? Like,
no, she took his shirt like a girlfriend shirt and then she said it a lot. And that might've been another thing people had a problem with. But again, context matters.
She took his shirt and was it against his will?
No, I don't think so. But she was like, I'm a gamer girlfriend. 8 weeks, you're going to do that. In a deep dive, you're going to talk about it. You should know what she did with the shirt then. You can talk.
Well, look at that. If it comes up organically.
You don't even remember what it's like to do these multi-hour deep dives. I think that's what it is.
We'll go a couple hours with Kelly.
5 hours.
Five is too much.
You met Kelly? Have you seen Kelly on the show?
I'm so excited for this deep dive. Can't wait.
I think you'll ask her one question. You'll be there already 2 hours later. So I think she's going to /.
Don't tempt me with a good time. Okay.
You do you. But yeah, no, the Alex take of liking Alex, I feel people are like really enjoying the
what do you think about Alex. Like, could this be like a new podcast concept where, you know, maybe I get like a headset and I'm like walking around and like, I'm like doing like things just like, you know, like I'm going to have I would do like a phone call, but we can get into everything from Survivor.
Why are you walking around?
I don't like to be just like locked in behind this podcast desk for like 3-4 hours. It's not good for you.
I guess. I mean, you're describing a recurring nightmare that I have. Like where I'm just doing something normal and then I'm like, oh my God, I'm on a podcast. And then I'm like, wait, the recording equipment isn't working. I literally have a recurring nightmare where that's true. And then I'm like, wait, I haven't been writing down the edits. Genuinely, I have that nightmare like once a month. I've never said that to anyone, but it's just true. So, I mean, that sounds like a nightmare. You want to do the deep dive with Kelly, but you don't want to.
Folding my laundry like while I'm doing it?
You want to be like how people listen to the podcast while you do the podcast. So
it'll still be good. Yeah. I'm not going to be like checked out of the conversation.
You can just like ask her questions. Just put the headset down, just go make a cup of tea and come back.
No, I would be very excited for that. And it
You're really
need to be,
winning the job.
Yeah, it doesn't. Maybe it could be a medium dive.
Maybe you do it on your own feed.
Okay, that's fine.
It sounds terrible. You're not really winning this. Like this is an audition to me. Then I'm not like.
What part of I'm no, I am going to be invested. I just like if it's going to be super long, like I feel like that, like, you know, I got a lot of stuff going on.
You think I got up while doing my 6-hour deep dive with George?
Mm-hmm.
I did a deep dive with Dino that started at 11:30 p.m. my time. It ended after 5 in the morning my time.
And
it was an all-night podcast.
And you're making it like this was Dino's fault.
Dino... Well, we asked him a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Of course it was his fault. It's his deep dive. What do we, mm-hmm. Yes. He's a deep diver sets the tone. It was bad. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah. So I've had a lot of midnights, you know, because even now we started at midnight. Here I am. It's 1:30 in the morning. The sleepover podcast on my jam.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me just look at my notes. What's that?
You're blaming me for Dino's podcast being 6 hours through the night?
Yes.
Unfair. Sorry, Dino, for the drive-by, yeah. But...
I mean, Marianne's podcast that I did that was over 5 hours, that was also Marianne's fault. I got bullied into doing that. She literally said, Rob, say goodbye to your family.
She says that to people all the time. I don't even know why. Mm-hmm. When we were away in Cairns, she took my phone when Peter called and she did kidnap a voice.
Mm-hmm. She ate Stephen Fishback.
I know. She's a menace. But I was going to say, there's a reason that deep dives are like, you know, pretty versatile in length. It's us all in the deep diver. Mm-hmm. And you just gave the keys
or the
to
network.
You know, but not us. Mm-hmm. We have no power in this situation. So I wanted to say, Rob.
Yeah.
Your favorite person made an appearance in this week.
My favorite person made an appearance in this week.
Can you guess who it was? Can we do that?
Who?
Do you remember someone you loved, but 2 months ago? I don't know that's so,
somebody
true.
I loved 2 months ago. Oh, Bowie Jane?
No, that was more than 2 months ago. And where would Bowie Jane be? Do you think just because we're in Australia, she'd be clearly
I was on TikTok and I was just scrolling and then I got to like Bowie Jane was like live and it was like, she was like in a pool, like just like talking. I was like, should I say hi to Bowie Jane in the chat? But I didn't want to like disrupt it.
Yeah.
Who?
Well, where was that deep dive? It was Peg Leg.
Peg Leg?
Do you remember Peg Leg?
Yeah, what he
Two
was.
Ago,
what do you mean he was
your favorite?
Sure. Where did you see Peg Leg?
Man, I really want to do the Survivor UK quiz with you right now. I think you could get maybe.
There was Christopher. People.
That one. Peg Leg. I think that's it.
Then there was Matthew.
Oh, you got Matthew. Okay.
Yeah. Was there Nathan also?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
There you go. Could you do. It's fine. We don't need to quiz you on every season of Survivor you've watched in the last 3 months.
Yeah. Okay.
Peg Leg, though, when they were doing the pirate bit and they said Eileen because she leans as Peg Leg.
I was
like, just shout out to a season that had not even aired when this was being filmed. Mm-hmm. Like, incredible, the crossover. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun stuff. Jaden's Jungle Gym. What's the point? What are we doing?
We're giving Jaden some airtime.
Giving him airtime, but like, why are we wait? Like, that's insane that these survivors are like burning calories doing exercise on the beach. Like, I know you're there for 50 days, but.
27.
Yeah, it's like.
Welcome to Australian Survivor.
That's insane. That's
Welcome
insane.
To Australian Survivor. where they do exercise when they don't even have to.
All the challenges are really, really good. Even the reward challenges. They do such a good job with the challenges on the show.
Oh my God. I'm just like, I have a vision in my mind. I'm sorry. It's like Australian Survivor is Jaden's Jungle Gym. And then US Survivor is like Drew and Brando talking about like Pokemon. And that is like such a perfect encapsulation.
The Pokemon Gym.
Yeah. Well, it's not. But that's the two types of gyms and it's the two types of Survivor. And yeah, I guess it's a third type of gym.
And,
like
and really we know one thing about Shannon Gus when it comes to Survivor. She's going to catch them all.
Catch what?
Them.
Not Kelly's deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny because I watched these episodes so many times and there are some scenes like the scramble that I've watched. Like I think I could quote it by heart like 15 times probably. And then Like Jaden's Jungle Gym, I just saw that the one time. Like I never went back to that. Skip straight past.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, this is okay. This is a good question to bring up with you. So I watched Talking Tribal.
Thank you.
And you like anecdotally mentioned about how no, the numbers made sense. It was a 3 and a 3 and a 4. And so like that everybody was incentivized for the 3 to split to the 4. And then, and you mentioned like a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And like, I guess I felt like that it was sort of like metaphorically, that you, then the producers cut to,
she made me do that.
They cut to your literal spreadsheet, which I could not even comprehend what was even in the spreadsheet.
Yep.
Do you do that all the time? Or was it just that this episode was so fascinating to you that you built a spreadsheet about this?
I honestly was doing it on Word and then I just saw that Excel would make more sense. And honestly, a lot of the time I might do the working in my mind, but watching it for Talking Tribal before I can talk to my brother, I felt like I wanted to clarify it in my own head. So I listed out all the outcomes. It was very rudimentary. She was like, please send me the spreadsheet and I'll throw it up. And I was like, no, it'll look so basic. But honestly, it was funny. She made the right call. That's why she's a producer. But
you were worried your spreadsheet would look too basic.
Yeah, because I didn't do capitals or anything. I literally was
who
like my
working. Who do you think would be dragging you for your spreadsheet not being good enough?
Honestly, have you met the Survivor community? Who knows?
Do you think the average Survivor fan has a spreadsheet?
A lot of them do. Literally, a lot of them do. I met someone a couple of weeks last week at the beauty party.
If you are a Survivor fan and you have a spreadsheet where you're crunching these votes, then tweet me an apple emoji.
Firstly, I already got a message from Nutty, who is someone that I spoke to about this when there was a similar mathematical loophole in Survivor 44. And he was like, hey, the 4-3-3 loophole. And I was like, already on Talking Tribal with my spreadsheet. So that shows people are interested, one. Secondly, people have spreadsheets. I met someone last week who has a spreadsheet of every single Australian Survivor player by both favorite and also best player that he constantly updates.
Mm-hmm.
Survivor fans and spreadsheet makers, the Venn diagram is near a circle, I would think.
That all Survivor fans are spreadsheet makers?
I mean, not a full circle, but it's pretty close. Sam says nerd. Sam, you're a nerd.
No, we don't yuck anybody's yum, Sam. Okay.
You're on a Survivor podcast. Like, we are nerds. Yes. We are.
But I would almost feel like, and like, I don't want to tell anybody that they're doing it wrong. But I do feel like that the best survivors, like I think are not in the spreadsheet, like the greatest survivor, like the people that are able to execute on it. Like I feel like that there, it's almost like that you are like too far under the microscope to like you know, nobody
be terrible players, but no one's saying that's not true. Mm-hmm. But do you know who was a big spreadsheeter?
Who?
The great and wonderful, my guest next week, Hayley Leak. Spreadsheeter.
Hey, okay. I didn't know this.
Yeah. And that's why one of the
And she does work under the microscope, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, well, the other side of the microscope.
No, and I don't mean to, like, I'm not trying to, like, make fun, maybe a little bit, but I'm not trying to, like, come down against the people, like, who are, like, really into, like, in baseball, they'd call it sabermetrics. I don't know if you would call it that when you get down to it in Survivor. But I do wonder
I'm
if
just
you
getting my head around the NFL role, please.
Yeah, but I do wonder if it's possible to be too far, like looking at it at an atomic level, where like that it ultimately it's not numbers, but it's also the people.
Yeah, you definitely need that. I mean, Hayley has that too. I do think that in Australian Survivor, there are not this season as much, but still, and usually so many recruits that level of like microscopic strategy can really help you. That's why Hayley and George could like dominate to that level, because it was just like a chasm between them and someone else. In something like US Survivor, where everyone's a very smart fan, that intensity might not be enough to be an advantage and might start detracting once you like lose the bigger picture. So maybe that's when we go back to comparing to US and AU as we always do. But I like, you know, but my spreadsheet, it was more that I wanted to work out if it was like a prisoner's dilemma, like a true prisoner's dilemma for each of them. And then it was, and then I started working out the outcomes, and then I found the mathematical loophole, and then I started doing it for the other tribe. And then I realized it didn't really work for the other tribe because it wasn't that same kind of dilemma. But
I think I kind of got lost in like all of the numbers. So what was the ultimate takeaway from your spreadsheet?
Ultimate takeaway was that Kirby and Ferris were both in different ways incentivized to turn on each other, that it was actually more risky for Kirby not to turn on Ferris, for her to vote against the Titans, and that the Titans were mathematically incentivized to vote against Ferris rather than Kirby. Mm-hmm.
And George disagreed, though, right?
I don't know if did he disagree on that? He just disagrees with me for the sake of it. Because I explained this to him on the podcast, but I'll do it again. Because Ferris has four, right?
Yeah.
It's not that high. Like, Ferris has four. So if Kirby and the Titans vote different ways, even if one tries to align to the other, Ferris is four, can 4-3-3. Like, if they, like, they're a triangle, right? So if they all shoot at each other, his four will win the day, mm-hmm. assuming Eileen votes with the four, right?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like you're like monkey clamping in the brain, like staring at me.
It's not because it's not you, it's me that.
If they all, and then Ferris has the advantage where if they were to all vote against each other in a triangle, his four would win the day.
Yeah.
So the Titans and Kirby are incentivized to not let that happen by teaming up as a 6-4 on Ferris. And that's what they
do. Yeah. I felt like that just if I was going to really talk it through, I felt like that for Kirby, it made more sense to turn against the Ferris group because that they, Kirby just needs numbers, you don't know if Kirby doesn't know if she's going to get Rihanna back. That's like her key person. She's counting on Scott and Kelly to, that's her army right now. So
it could be good.
She really does need reinforcements. So
reinforcements.
Rihanna
reinforcements. Yeah.
So I definitely see why it makes sense.
There's a lot of reasons
from Kirby's part. Ultimately, the ragtag bunch of Ferris and Garrick and Raymond, and somehow Eileen is with them, that, I don't have a lot of hope for that group.
It's not a good spot. But then you're saying, if they're incentivized in different ways, if Kirby is incentivized to turn on Ferris, and even more, he's incentivized to turn back. It was just that, insane incentive to the point where, the break had happened, and mm-hmm. it was going to happen for so many different reasons. But I hope you like my spreadsheet. This is what you're paying me for, right? That's the time and effort that you and Talking Tribal are investing in me. And I think it was in my contract, make spreadsheets. And
again, this is the deep dive of you decided to do the spreadsheets. Nobody asked you to do them.
It's important for me, for my thinking. I have OCD, Rob. So
yeah.
That's just where my brain just goes to that. But I find it really fun. This is what I love, honestly. This is really fun.
If it brings you joy, Shannon, I love it for you.
Is that a Seinfeld quote?
Nope. Definitely not.
Nothing. I'll never trust you ever again.
Okay. All right, Shannon, we could go on and on and on for many more hours, but like the Seinfeld TV show, let's go out on top.
That is not how people feel about the Seinfeld finale. Even I know that.
Well, but the idea that they could have done, they could have done five more seasons.
Gone to 10 like Friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Shannon. So, what else is coming up for you? I mean, this was a marathon week for you with the podcast with Omer and Zach, all the exit interviews. I only ended up listening to Viola because we had to come on the podcast.
Yeah.
Then
a lot. Yeah.
Then, we had this as well. You're not catching up with Mike Bloom or anything tomorrow.
Maybe I will. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I feel like today we were very much like the Tortured Poets Department. That was me, just all day podcasting on Valentine's Day. So, mm-hmm. I did three podcasts today.
Now, how do you know what the Tortured Poets Department is yet?
Guessing.
You're guessing. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it, and this is what it feels like.
Are podcasters tortured poets?
In so many ways.
No, we're the opposite of that. We're the opposite of tortured.
Maybe
we love a thing so much that we have to come on and talk about it.
I feel
tortured. And make our spreadsheets.
Yeah. What's coming up for me?
Yeah. How come when Taylor Swift puts like hidden messages in her songs, people celebrate that, but you are angry with me for putting hidden messages to the listeners in the podcast?
Because Taylor tells us she's doing that. Like, it's we're on the same page. Like, it's an open conversation. It's not one person doing something and the other person doesn't know, which would be really rude.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's that imbalance. You understand. Next week, Haley, as said, spreadsheet maker Haley. We'll talk about our, you know, mutual spreadsheets. And
what kind of spreadsheets did she make?
Prep. I think like major prep spreadsheets, like to analyze the game.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why she won, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what else. I'm kind of delirious in terms of. Okay. Yeah. I watched the Super Bowl.
Yes. How was it?
Yeah.
Did you see the Friends commercial?
No, we didn't get the commercials, but I do want to watch that because I heard about it. We didn't get that was what I really wanted to watch. That was a very long game of football.
It was.
You know, it started at 10:30 in the morning. Apparently, the seventh longest game of football ever.
Wow.
And I thought, like, my dad came over and I was like, "We'll get lunch around 1." He's like, "This game will end at like 3," and it did. Insane. Mm-hmm. It went on for such a long time and didn't understand what was happening. And Mike was trying to explain things to me. Like, I know we went to that Jets game.
Yeah.
But it was just gibberish to me. Anyway, I had a good time with it.
You were messaging with Mike Bloom in real time?
Yeah.
And he was explaining like what was happening. Life. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was saying like punt. And I was like, all right. And he could have been lying too, but he probably wasn't.
I mean, yeah. And what would be the upside in lying to you about the football game in a text message?
What was the upside last time?
Who lied to you?
Yeah.
About what?
You lied by omission, by blindfold words.
I mean, it's not a lie if you believe it, Shannon.
Rob, what did Mark learn this week?
What did Mark learn this week?
Okay, you're taking too long. It's really obvious.
He learned
that
don't trust Rihanna.
Yeah. Well, he learned that revenge is a dish best served cold.
Okay.
That's what I did. I put secret code messages in this podcast. Did you pick up on it?
No.
Good. I want everyone to message Rob if you picked up on it and tell him. And don't think someone else probably told him. Assume they haven't. Message him and tell him the code.
It's
be
fine.
More upset.
Yeah.
Not fine. No. I've worked really hard. I worked really hard on it. I'm annoyed that you don't care. It's like the worst reaction to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for me. I'm done. That's why.
All right.
Mad.
Yes. All right. Shannon, well, great job once again. I'm still proud of you. Even if you've set a booby trap for me.
Did you really not get it?
What did you put? Like Taylor Swift songs?
No.
What is it?
I'm not telling you.
Okay.
It's in a similar space to that. And everyone knows you're a big Taylor Swift fan, so you should have got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I'm glad. I'm upset that you kind of half got it. How predictable am I?
Mm-hmm.
Are you mad about this?
No.
Did I go too far?
Don't care. It's fine.
I'm devastated.
All right. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for making this time. I'm in it now. I gotta keep up with it and do the deep dive with Kelly.
Yeah, well, that's true. Maybe you go till Kelly goes.
Oh, no, we're 3/8 of the way there. So, I mean, we're almost halfway. Like, so yeah, I get up, I exercise in the morning. So it's great to be able to, you know, have this. I don't have another show that I'm watching. So this is great.
We'll check in sometimes.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do another one. And then maybe after the finale. So I'm not going anywhere.
And we won't. No more pranks.
Okay. All right.
Put the violence down.
All right. So let's. Of course, shout out to all of our patrons who are watching along with us. RobIsAWebsite.com/patron. Try to make it very easy for everybody around the world to enjoy these great international reality shows. Shannon, anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.